Hi, my name is Sarah Tran.
And this is Megha Jan.
And we
are Technology.
So what flavor of tea are you drinking today?
I am drinking jasmine tea on a lovely Sunday morning. What about you, Sarah?
I'm just keeping it classic with my green tea.
I have an interesting question for you. What is the last time you tried a VR headset?
The last time, and actually the first time I tried a VR headset, was about a year ago. I don't know the exact model, but I essentially got to experience what it was like to live in this prehistoric times where just dinosaurs were stepping around me, and it was really cool. But when was the first time you got the opportunity to try a VR headset?
I think there's been like so many tidbits of times almost. And you know, there's so many different types of VR headsets, like you can strap your phone in or have an actual screen. But the one that stood out to me the most was at the 2016 LA Auto Show. And Volvo was actually using a VR headset to kind of showcase what life with their newer models was going to look like. And there was this beautiful field and a sun setting, and we were just sitting on top of a Volvo. Super great experience.
VR has changed so much since 2016, and you know, even from 2019 when I first tried it out, and it seems like, you know, even every month VR continues to get new developments.
That's very true. And I think the biggest development that we want to talk about in the world of VR was Facebook's Connect event this year. So usually it's called their VR AR conference, but they changed the name from Oculus Connect to Facebook Connect. And usually this is a conference solely meant for VR, but spoiler alert, there were a lot of really cool AR announcements in 2020 as well. So it was a single day conference held on Wednesday, September 16th, with a 2-hour keynote. Seems kind of long, but there was this really awesome skit that Mark Zuckerberg did, and you guys should totally check that out.
So here, Mark Zuckerberg announced Facebook's new VR headset called the Oculus Quest 2, as well as all of its new features. Next, Zuckerberg announced Facebook's collaboration with Ray-Ban to make their new smart glasses. And lastly, they announced their AR initiative called Project Aria. And so we're going to be going over all of those in this episode.
But first, as usual, let's start with some context. So I think there's this myth surrounding AR and VR that this is a very recent development in extended reality technology. And that's actually not the case, because we started seeing AR-VR development as early as in the 1930s. And it's only evolved since then. By the mid-1980s, the Virtual Interface Environment Workstation, which was aptly shortened to VIEW system, existed within NASA, and it combined a head-mounted device with gloves to enable haptic interaction. This was all happening, you know, 3-4 decades ago now. And then in the 1990s, Nintendo was creating Virtual Boy, which was basically a system that allowed for users to have relatively affordable VR headsets in their house for gaming purposes. And then if we jump to the 2010s, we can see that Oculus in 2012 was founded in Irvine by Palmer Luckey, Brendan Irib, Michael Antonov, and Nate Mitchell. And their Kickstarter campaign was actually so successful that they raised $2.4 million and their goal was only $250,000.
Wow, the fact that they were able to raise 10 times more than their initial goal just shows how exciting this technology is, and I think just how excited the market is as a whole for these opportunities.
Exactly, and it's for those very reasons that Facebook actually acquired Oculus in March of 2014 for $2.3 billion in cash and stock, which, if you do a quick math, it's 1,000 times the amount that they raised in their Kickstarter campaign back in 2012.
That's incredible.
Truly. And I think this particular conference comes at such an interesting time, because we can see that Facebook is trying to now further blur the lines between Oculus and Facebook itself. You know, they changed the name of this event from Oculus Connect to Facebook Connect. We're going to be talking about that more later in the implications for Facebook's, you know, virtual reality labs at the end of this episode. But it's also interesting because if you look at the competitors, you can see that Facebook's timing is really immaculate. You know, Magic Leap currently, which is a startup that has been working on AR, VR technology and smart goggles for a while now, their valuation has been in free fall since the start of 2020. In fact, Magic Leap investors are right now downgrading the worth of their share, and they've been doing so by as much as 93%. So it's pretty crazy. Unfortunately, this company is not doing as well as it initially was. You know, there was a point where it was estimated to be worth more than $6 billion by both investors and market watchers. And at this point, especially with, you know, Facebook's announcements in the past week, Magic Leap is not doing so well. And, you know, Snapchat smart goggles are also not as much of a viable option for people as a lot of Facebook's products.
So while that news is really unfortunate for Magic Leap and this startup, it seems like there's never really been a better time for Facebook to jump into the AR and VR space. And so, you know, when they announced their first major announcement, you know, the Oculus Quest 2 starting at $299 and shipping on October 13th, this was a really exciting moment for people who are tuning in and interested in the world of VR as a whole.
For sure. I just want to put out there, $299 as a starting price is absolutely ridiculous. Like, there has never been a VR headset of this quality available for that cheap. So this was groundbreaking news truly for the VR community. And it seems as though a lot of the features that they have been asking for were finally granted in this version.
Exactly. And I think that goes along with Facebook's overall push to making VR technology just more accessible for the daily and average person. And so some of the key features that were announced, especially with the use of a skit, which was awesome, include the higher resolution of the headsets in terms of their specs, integrations with improvements like Oculus Link, as well as decreasing the price by $100 in comparison to the Oculus Rift, which is their first generation model.
Another really cool thing about this is that the Oculus Quest 2 is actually 10% lighter than its predecessor, which essentially means that now a lot of VR gamers don't have to attach counterweights to the back of their heads just to offset the weight of the front of the headset. This is something that people have been asking for a really long time, and it just eliminates a lot of the bulkiness that comes with so many of these headsets.
And so we touched upon some of the hardware capacities and just overall the improvements with the headset, but now we're going to talk more about the actual software parts of it. And so the first thing that's most notable about this, unlike any other Oculus Rift model before, has been this mandatory Facebook login when you're using the headset. And so this will actually integrate Facebook's Messenger platform.
So essentially, you can see messages as they pop up, almost like you're on your phone. You can be, you know, exploring prehistoric times like Sarah was and watching all the dinosaurs walking around. And all of a sudden, a message from your friend pops up like, hey, want to go grab a slice of pizza?
That's hilarious. And I think it's super cool because another one of the integrated features is fitness tracking. You could be theoretically walking in Dinosaur Land, about to go Uber Eats a pizza, and then also start just walking around your house and it'll track like your steps, for example, and just your overall movement.
That's pretty darn amazing. And the coolest thing about this, which kind of ties into the whole accessibility part of the Oculus Quest 2, is that Oculus Link is going to be launched later on this year as a part of the Oculus Quest 2, which essentially means that you can plug this into your PC as well and essentially watch whatever you want to. Obviously, these are some absolutely amazing features, but I want to ask Sarah, which is your favorite integration?
That's a really hard question because there's so many, but I would have to say it's the integration of their business tools, and it's called the Infinite Office. And this essentially allows you to just combine multiple and customizable screens as if you were actually in an office. And the goal is to make it more of a personalized productivity environment as opposed to like working in groups. And I'm just really excited for this because you don't need to plug yourself into anything. You can just go into free flow. You no longer have to be confined at a desk in order to do your work. You know, you can operate your computer screens with this headset instead of having to sit down.
Yeah, that's incredibly exciting, especially given that we are still in a pandemic and so many people continue to work from home. This technology could literally be life-changing on a daily basis.
Exactly. And so with Facebook themselves, their goal is to have over 50% of their employees in the future to work from home on a consistent basis. So just imagine how this is going to revolutionize workspaces across the globe.
So in the spirit of work-life balance, which has kind of been eroded during this pandemic, thankfully, it's not all work with the Oculus Quest 2. There's a lot of play involved as well. And what I mean by that is that this is an amazing opportunity for gamers. With Qualcomm's XR2 chip within the Oculus Quest 2 and their amazing graphics, as well as their pixel to eye ratio, which is actually 1,832 by 1,920, we can see that this is just going to be a much more enhanced experience for VR gamers. Now, personally, Sarah and I, we're not too big on gaming. I play Minecraft. I think Minecraft VR version would be really, really cool. But we want to know what games you guys play and how you think that experience is going to change using this VR headset. So if you want to be a part of this conversation, hop onto Twitter, tag us, hop onto Instagram, do the same thing, and use the hashtag Technology Tuesdays.
So with the Oculus Quest 2, that really enables us to move beyond having to do things at a desk. For example, you could be playing games on the go and you could be at your office while walking. Another major announcement that Facebook made was in regards to its augmented reality or AR platforms. And essentially this is to augment our daily lifestyle. And so Facebook's plans at the moment are to make a collaboration with Ray-Ban, a popular glasses production brand, to make their very own smart glasses.
Now, the cool thing about this is that there are a lot of companies, as we mentioned earlier, that have been trying to do the same thing, whether it's Snapchat with their Snap goggles or Magic Lenses. It just didn't seem to work out because the amount of demand in the market seemed to be very small. So what inspired Facebook to get into this space in the first place? Well, it's the fact that they have this key strategic partnership with Luxottica, which is the parent company of Ray-Bans. Now, the funny part is that Luxottica has also been accused of anti-competitive behavior in the past. They're actually notoriously well known for it because they occupy a majority of the market share when it comes to the eyewear market. In fact, doesn't really matter what brand you're wearing. It could be Oakley, it could be Ray-Bans, it could be something else. There's a really, really good chance that Luxottica produced your glasses. So with Facebook partnering with this other company that seems to have, you know, a virtual oligopoly, if not monopoly, on the eyewear market, this could potentially be a game changer. Because Mark Zuckerberg even mentioned this in his little skit and his keynote. It gives the user more customizable options for glasses. And that's just something that didn't happen. You know, like beforehand, you would have to wear these bulky glasses that didn't fit your face or were really, really heavy. And now you can choose a pair of really stylish Ray-Bans that happen to have AR in them.
So Facebook's goal here is to make these AR smart glasses feel essentially identical to just wearing a normal pair of Ray-Bans. So I'm really excited to see how exactly they are able to execute that. In terms of the actual features, Zuckerberg didn't release too much information at the moment just because they're still trying to figure that out. But there was a demo on potentially what that could look like, as well as just showing some overall clips of wearing the glasses. And it has been discussed that there's a possibility that these AR glasses will be able to eventually feed us information via audio. So we could be looking for, you know, we could essentially be looking for like a pizza restaurant. And, you know, these glasses might say, if you turn right and then you walk 0.5 miles, you'll find the nearest pizza restaurant. So I think that's really cool.
That's pretty crazy, pretty fantasy sci-fi.
Right. That goal of having this all-day wearable form factor, as Zuckerberg mentioned, it's just really, really exciting. And that kind of transitions us into the next point. So the next major announcement that was made during the conference, and that's with Facebook's AR initiative called Project Aria.
So as of now, Facebook employees are actually being sent out with Aria glasses for testing purposes. And they have this goal of trying to figure out really tough problems like how to maintain privacy while wearing a pair of camera embedded glasses. I would imagine that would be quite difficult.
So with all of their testing through VR and AR applications, and especially with Project Aria, they've created a set of principles for this responsible innovation to essentially guide their Project Aria lab work. This includes things directly quoted from their website, to never surprise people, to provide controls that matter, consider everyone, and put people first. So essentially, Facebook's goal here is to make sure that we're putting privacy, security, and safety at the forefront.
I really love how they're doing this so responsibly, because AR VR is a very, you have to be very careful in this space, because there are multiple things that can go wrong if, you know, this technology is to get into the wrong hands or be used inappropriately. So I think it's really important that they've set up these principles from the get-go. And kind of on that same vein, something really cool that they're doing to incentivize innovation in this space is providing a $1 million grant for social impact in AR, VR. And basically, those who can create uses for this for underrepresented communities and fostering welcoming and inclusive environments in 3D spaces can win up to $1 million. And I think that is really cool. And it's spurring responsible innovation in a space that has traditionally been used just for entertainment.
Yeah, that's such a good point, and I couldn't agree more. It goes along with Zuckerberg's overall goal to make AR and VR technology just something that's more accessible for the daily user. So it's no longer something that is just niche, but it's also something that can truly benefit everyone, whether you're sitting on one part of the globe or another.
Well, this conference was absolutely amazing. Perhaps one of the most stark contrasts was the naming. We mentioned this earlier, Oculus Connect as an event was renamed to Facebook Connect, which shows blurring lines between the AR/VR department within Facebook and then the parent company itself. But another really cool thing they did is that they renamed their AR/VR team as well to Facebook Virtual Reality Labs. Now, Facebook Virtual Reality Labs is doing something really interesting that other startups that we mentioned earlier have not been able to do, simply because they don't have the same financial backing or resources. So Facebook Virtual Reality Labs is actually building the entire stack when it comes to AR, VR. They're not only including software, but they're also building the underlying hardware. So privacy is essentially being baked into their design process. And that is really, really cool. Furthermore, they are working on a lot of different technology right now, while they're also, you know, actively searching for people who can apply what they're creating responsibly. They're also the team that was behind Oculus and Portal and Spark AR. And we can expect a lot of really innovative things to continue to come out of Facebook Virtual Reality Labs in the coming years.
With Oculus Quest 2, Facebook's collaboration with Ray-Ban to make their smart glasses, and their AR initiative called Project Aria, I truly believe that these are just the beginning of a world where AR and VR are so much more of a norm and less of something that's just used in niche jargons and communities.
Definitely. We're seeing so many non-traditional applications of it already, from, you know, work spaces to concerts and TikTok earlier this year. I'm just super, super excited to see where else we can use this. But with that, I think it is time to wrap up this episode. Thank you so much for joining us. If you guys want to talk about the games you're going to play using these VR headsets or anything else related to, you know, their AR goggles, please hop onto Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Use the hashtag Technology Tuesdays and become a part of the conversation.
Our next episode will be a recap of Battery Day featuring a Tesla employee.
So be sure to join us and spill some tea.